Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey Axe Podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, Bruce Gunther, John Enns, and Tyler Holman, my co-host. Boys, what's happening?
I'm waiting for my laptop to decide whether it's going to boot up or die. It's been about half an hour now, backup computer tonight.
It's probably going to die.
Oh, I thought it was bad hair day.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't want to see my hair right now either way. So.
I can still say that, Bruce. Yeah. I got like two more years and then I can't say that anymore.
All right. Well, guys, listen, episode 30. We made it to 30 episodes. I don't know how, but we did it. So here we are. Tonight, we're going to go over NHL Week 2 waiver wire picks and preview. But first off, I just want to mention the contest. So we posted earlier this week. We are giving away 4 tickets. Tyler, Loge, is it Loge Seating? How do you pronounce it?
Loge.
Thank you for clarifying Loge. That. Yeah. So yeah. Four tickets to the Edmonton Oilers versus the Nashville Predators on November 3rd, I believe. So if you're interested, go and check it out. It's on the post on Twitter. It's on Instagram. Make sure you like it, share it, retweet it. Mention in the post who you would take to the game, and bonus points for following the podcast or subscribing to the podcast.
You get free popcorn too.
There you go. And there's a free parking pass in there too, I believe, Tyler.
Yeah. There is.
So yeah, good deal. We're excited. Kind of just a way to kick off the season. And obviously with our 30th episode, we wanted to try and do something kind of special. So there it is. Guys, make sure you follow us on the socials and share it, like it, so on. So with that, what else is going on? Tyler, I think we should probably talk about... Tyler's probably the closest thing any of us will ever get to being an NHL player. So we'll maybe fill us in a bit there, bud.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
You've seen my skating ability. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, way to put me on the spot there. To.
It's actually pretty funny. So it's your story. You tell it. I mean, it's good stuff.
So our hockey team, Hot Garbage, CCRHL, beer league team, Div 11 in the CCRHL. Middle of the road. It's not even like really bad. Like Div 13 is really bad and beyond. Div 11 is like you're right in the middle of the road. So you're not terrible, but you're clearly not good at all. So we played a game at Rogers Place. The ice was awesome. The lighting's actually super weird. So it's like you're on a stage. It's like you're at like the Wind Spear or something when you're on the ice, because the stands are so dark and the contrast is so great that you don't actually, obviously there wasn't anybody in the stands really, but I'm sure if there was, we would have been able to see them. But the contrast is so great that it's like you can only see the ice. And it was awesome. We lost in a shootout, which sucked. I did get a goal and an assist and a penalty, which was awesome because they announced your penalties too. Yeah. And the crowd loved that because that's kind of what I do. So after the game, we're all leaving. We're like, they're on a tight schedule. So they're all kind of like kicking us off the ice because we would have skated around there for the rest of the night. We're leaving and there's like a glass fridge on the right-hand side as you're walking out. So I'm like the third, fourth guy off the ice. Somebody's already in this fridge. And there's Gatorade in there. And somewhere along the way, there was like an email sent out or a slideshow or something from the league that said, like, there's going to be Gatorade or I don't even know. It's just Gatorade. It's nothing special. It's just Gatorade. But we were all excited about it. We didn't see it in the room in our stalls. So we assumed that this was the Gatorade that they were talking about. So buddy's in the fridge and I kind of like take over the role of handing out the Gatorade. Even though I just thought it would be like me and a couple guys, everybody's coming off the ice now. So I'm handing out Gatorade, like I'm handing out, like it's like Halloween and people are coming to the door. I'm just handing it out to both teams, like cleaned out the fridge. And the Oilers employee that's like kind of running the thing, this last guy off the ice and comes out there and he's like, oh man, you didn't do that, did you? Like, I absolutely did that. And I am sorry if I wasn't supposed to. I gave away all of the Oilers Gatorade for their practice this morning. So I think he had to go to like 7-Eleven and restock the Gatorade.
Oh, man.
It was delicious Gatorade.
Good job, Tyler.
It was special Gatorade for sure. It was awesome, though. The whole thing was awesome.
Okay, so if McDavid flops in his next game, we can blame you. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, it was totally my fault. I took his white Gatorade. White's the best flavor,
oh,
too.
Oh, man, so. That's awesome. Good stuff. Well, too bad you didn't win your game. You know what? You should try and post that photo, that one of you like flying over the goaltender. That was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll post that. We had I'll try and share it with the music. We had the...
be sure to share it because it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Good way to start off the podcast. Let's maybe kick off the hockey news and injury updates because there was a lot that went on. This is actually our first podcast episode where we've got regular season hockey to talk about. So some injuries, some interesting stuff went on this week. First of which, Nick Suzuki signed an 8-year contract extension, $7.875 million AAV. So he got paid. Any issues with that contract, guys? I think that's probably a reasonable number given what he's done and what he can do.
That's fair.
Mitch Marner is fine, but at the time he left practice, actually as a precaution, he collided with Wayne Simmonds in practice earlier this week, but no issues there. The Washington Capitals have placed center Nicholas Backstrom on LTIR for his hip injury. He's going to miss at least 10 games. It hasn't seemed to have affected Washington all that much, to be honest, but something to note there. Nathan MacKinnon is in COVID-19 protocol after testing positive for COVID-19. He missed practice on Tuesday last week, and he's not going to play in the season opener. He didn't play in the season opener against Chicago. He's still not playing, and he had another positive test, I should say, yesterday. So
he tested negative this afternoon, though, so he's on a flight out to meet
the
team.
There you go. So, yeah, I posted earlier today. I wondered if he wasn't going to play until the team returned, but that's good news, Bruce. Thanks for the update there.
I think he has to pass one more negative test though before he can play. But he's flying out to join the team.
So for all you Nathan MacKinnon owners, if you did miss that, he's going to play, which kind of messes with our waiver wire pick, Nazem Kadri, who I had picked up in a couple leagues, yesterday, thinking MacKinnon would be back for a while. But anyway, there you go. Bruce, we talked in the last podcast about the Dallas goaltending situation. Jake Oettinger was reassigned to the AHL, which left Anton Khudobin and Braden Holtby in net for the Stars. And since that last episode, I had mentioned Braden Holtby as a pickup, and he played really well, guys. Hey, through two games, like he didn't get the win in that first first game because he was dehydrated and he left early, but he had a .940 save percentage, I think. And then in the second game against Boston, he had a .925 or something. So like on the season, Holtby's at around .930, .935. He's looked really good. And then compounding to that is that Khudobin didn't play well against the Senators on Sunday. So, I wonder if we're going to see Holtby get a few more starts than Khudobin, and assuming Bishop is out long-term or continues to be out long-term, Holtby he's pretty much a must-add at this point, hey, guys?
I would think so.
Yeah. Any objections? No. Tyler? Okay, cool. Next time you see him in the liquor store, you say hi.
I will.
Alrighty.
I'll say Devin.
Yeah, you let him know. Tell me he has to come on the podcast. Ryan Donato scored the first goal in Seattle Kraken history. Jeremy Cann and Morgan Geeky also scored for the Kraken in the 4-3 loss to the Golden Knights. I thought they actually played pretty well in that first game. Against Vegas, expectations were not high. They were down 3-0 early, but to come back and actually lose that game 4-3, I thought was pretty good. What did you guys think?
There were stretches that they played really well, but in the end, Vegas just kind of overpowered them.
Yeah, I think Vegas kind of shut her down for a little bit and then decided they wanted to play again. I don't think Seattle's going to be like Vegas was, but I think they kind of put on the brakes a little bit and then turned it back on.
Yeah, typical of a team like the Golden Knights, right? You get up 3 goals, you're going to sit quiet for a bit. So not a huge surprise there. Pacioretty did score twice for Vegas, and Chandler Stephenson looked good through the first few games. I might as well jump ahead a little bit here since we're talking about the Golden Knights. Pacioretty now is going to miss 6 weeks, sounds like, roughly. Mark Stone is day-to-day. At this point, we don't know much beyond that. He's going to be assessed by team doctors tomorrow, being Tuesday, October 19th. So Chandler Stephenson has looked good. What do you guys think as a waiver wire pickup? Does he make sense still with Pacioretty and Stone out of the lineup?
Nope. I don't think so.
Yeah.
He's the only one left from that line. So it's.
Well, and so.
It all depends on what happens, right? So who Vegas inserts into the lineup and stuff. But
I guess the hope at this point would be like, I think if Mark Stone, they don't play till Wednesday, Vegas. So if Mark Stone is okay and he comes back in, you've got Stevenson and Stone on that top line still. It sounds like Dadnov's going to get moved up to the top line. So, I mean, at that point, I think Dadnov and Stone, it's not Pacioretty and Stone, but it's probably still serviceable.
Yeah, it's better than a couple of AHL players in Stevenson.
Yeah. And, I mean, they've still got Peyton Krebs, too, who could get moved up the lineup. Nolan Patrick, you know, maybe he gets moved to the wing or something. They've got some options there to play with anyway. But Vegas hasn't looked great early, though, either. Hey, guys, like, you know, after that, what did they... I think they lost a couple games after that initial win, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they got shelled in L.A. the next night or their next game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Leonard got pulled in that game.
That's right. Yeah, he did too. NHL hashtags are back. I don't know if you guys care or not. I actually quite enjoy them, especially if I'm tweeting about team updates or anything. There's some goofy ones here this year, though. Like Florida's is hashtag time to hunt.
Bring it to Broad.
Yeah.
I was just looking at that too. Like,
what the fuck? Yeah.
What else was kind of, I think those are the big ones.
Yeah. Bring it to Broad. That's weird.
That must be the Rangers one.
Yeah.
Well, bring it to Broad is Philly. That's the Philly one. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So these are all in alphabetical order. And for our listeners, I've included them in the show notes here so you can check them out. The other one that was kind of weird was Texas hockey. So it was just last year it was just Stars and now it's Texas hockey.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're trying to get creative.
LGRW.
But anyway, for all of our listeners, if you guys want to use them on Twitter, they are available there just as a reference. Check them out on the website, fantasyhockeyhacks.com. Moving on, October 13th, Vitek Vanecek got the starting nod in the Washington Capitals season opener, which surprised a bunch of people, including John, who was not happy.
Not at all.
to be honest, I dropped Samsonov. I can't remember which league that was in. But it might have been my Chewbarkov team. But I dropped him, picked up Holpe. I don't know. I don't want to mess around. It looks like Vanecek's going to get the brunt of the starts here, at least to begin. And I think, honestly, the Capitals are just tired of Samsonov's shit. Like, if it's not cocaine parties in the back room or COVID, like, he's just, that guy's got all sorts of issues right now. And then I think the goaltending coach mentioned specifically that they were really impressed with Vanecek's character and his discipline. And he didn't allude to Samsonov directly, but it was, you know, like, read between the lines, right?
They also gave him a second round pick to get him back. So second round pick's a pretty good pick to give up. So they obviously liked him in the first place. So.
Yeah, that was an odd situation too. They lost when they traded back.
Yeah.
They obviously liked the guy, right? So
What
else happened? Ovechkin had a 4-point game. He was day to day to start. We weren't sure if he was even gonna play, and then he went in there and scored 2 goals and 2 assists. So classic Ovechkin. He passed Marcel Dion and is now in sole possession of 5th all-time on the goals list. So some good stuff there from Ovi. Jonathan Toews made his return for the Hawks. It was a 4-2 loss to the Avs. Bowen Byram scored his first NHL goal and added an assist. Jesse Puljujärvi, saw with him. He's looked really good. We love...
Beauty. The Bison King. the Bison King. He is the best. Like, there's no way not to love Jesse.
He is the best. How can you not? Actually, okay, I'm going to bring this up because someone on Instagram called me out for it. But I commented on this post and said, I love this team, right? Like, the Oilers this year, you can just tell they're close and they're having fun and they're making jokes. And somebody said, well, on any other team, he's not a top line winger. And I just said, I respectfully disagree, right? I bet there's 30 other teams in the league that would snap him up in a second.
Yeah. It's hard not to be a homer, but when you have a guy that's like, I think he's like, what, 6'4"?
6'5", yeah.
Lanky and long, and he goes to the net. Like, he looks terrified if anybody ever wants to swing at him, but he still goes there.
Yeah.
Right. Like he looks like he wants to say sorry every time anybody wants to say anything to him, but like he goes where you have to go. He's huge in front of the net. He actually has a decent shot. And this year too, like last year he looked confused all over the ice. Everywhere he was, it just looked like he was overthinking it or just confused. And this year he looks like he's in the right spot all the time. So,
he's
just going to keep doing more.
I totally agree. He's figured it out, or he's figuring it out offensively. And he's always been praised for his defensive play. Like he's been good on the back check. He's on puck retrievals, especially in the offensive zone. Like he compliments McDavid really well because he's getting pucks back. And like that one goal on Saturday, right? The Battle of Alberta. And that one pass over to, well, I think he meant to shoot it actually, but you know, it ricocheted over to McDavid, first goal, right? Like he's making plays like that where it's leading to production. So yeah. And just a really funny guy, really interesting. Like that whole exchange, I'm sure you guys saw it on social media with Draisaitl.
He was, I thought you were going to talk about
Bison. Okay. We talked with the Bison King too, if you want.
He was a kind buffalo.
No, the one, him and Draisaitl, that was a pretty funny exchange. They asked Draisaitl again after Saturday's game, like, so what did you think of Connor's shot, right? And, well, if you guys look really close, it was kind of fluffing off a little bit. And then they asked, you know, Jesse, well, who has a nicer shot? Who has a better one-timer, right? And just like Draisaitl.
His English is getting so much better that you can actually like get a glimpse into his personality. And I think it's really helping him and fans to kind of connect with him too as well.
Yeah. So I don't know, John, Bruce, unless you guys have anything else to add to that, we won't talk about Jesse too much more.
Nothing really to add. Just that watching the game the other day, it's a lot of fun to watch him play. He just looks so happy there, which is a huge change from a couple years ago. So.
For sure it is.
And that the tongue hanging out is the best.
You know he's having a good time then.
For sure he is.
Yeah. That's how you know.
Okay, let's move on here. October 14th, Gabriel Landeskog was suspended 2 games for boarding John's favorite player, Kirby Doc, late in the game against Chicago. I guess that happened on the 13th, but he was suspended the next day. So what did you think of the hit, John?
I didn't like it. Doc's on one knee, a couple feet from the boards, and he just comes in and just absolutely wrecks him. I wasn't a fan. I was okay with the 2 games. Other than Landeskog being on my fantasy team, but
yeah, me too.
I'll take the PMs and
and
go from there, I guess.
And Doc is fine, right? Like he's taken back that 1C role, so obviously he's doing just fine. I think he's got 2 goals since then.
He's looked pretty good.
The Hawks haven't looked good as a whole.
No.
Well, let's talk about that too, John. Like, where you've got Marc-Andre Fleury in at least one league, right?
Oh man, I'm just getting flashbacks from a couple years ago in the final where all Fleury had to do was win against Calgary, and he lost like 6-0 or something stupid. But yeah, having Fleury in the other day was kind of heartbreaking. I'm just so excited for him. I don't know. He's my favorite goalie. Obviously, everyone can tell that over the last 3 or 4 months. So, it was kind of disappointing to see him do so poorly. But I think he'll bounce back. Don't get me wrong, the team in front of him is not the greatest. But it's hard to hold him down. So,
well, they've got a lot of new players, right? Lots of guys adjusting. It's going to take some time. Like, and you can't panic over 2, 3, 4, 5 games. Like, let's give it a month or two and see where things are at. He'll be okay. He's a Vezina Trophy winner. He's one of the best goalies in the last 25 years, so it'll be just fine. Maybe.
Probably.
Maybe not, though. Zach Bogosian is out 4 to 6 weeks in Tampa. They're having a heck of a time right now, the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I guess, again, I might as well jump ahead here because the big news today was Nikita Kucherov. It looked The play looked rather harmless. Honestly, it didn't look like much. Clearly, it was his groin. He's grabbing his groin. We're going to talk about groins here again, I know, on this show, because we just can't help ourselves. But when they keep coming up like this, like, what do you do? So,
Kucherov's got a weak groin.
Yeah, he's on John's list now.
Paper mache.
So, sounds like he may require surgery. And the coach there said it's not day to day, and that was the only report he really gave. So, yeah, we'll find out more here shortly. But that's a pretty big blow, and I think right away that probably helps Stamkos his fantasy value because he's going to get bumped up the lineup. Chances are, I don't think they're going to and then because they don't have a lot of depth on the right side. I think the guy next up is Corey Perry. So,
their depth is gone over the summer. So
they're going to miss him this year. Like last year, they could make it through until he was healthy. This year, it's going to be a big blow, and I think that hurts Vasilevsky's value. So, if you were one of those guys that went and drafted Vasilevsky fifth overall or fourth overall, you're not happy right now. It's interesting. We'll have to see what happens there. But Palat, I guess, gets a bump. He's going to be in the first unit power play again, looked like today. So there, some things to watch out for in Tampa. Brady Tkachuk signed 7-year deal, $8.214 million AAV, $57.5 million total. The breakdown of that contract is in the show notes here, guys. So if you want to see what that's going to cost, it's actually only $4 million is the cap hit this year. That's pretty, like, if you're the Ottawa Senators, you're pretty happy with that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a jump in year three, but...
Sure, yeah. Yep, goes up to $10.5 million. And that's, at that point, I think their hope is probably that he is putting up 70 or 75 points and hitting everything that moves. Casey Mittelstadt left Thursday night's game against Montreal with an upper body injury. He's going to be out approximately 2 weeks. John Klingberg suffered a lower body injury, and Miro Heiskanen scored the game-winning goal in OT. So Heiskanen's look good. And this is kind of what we've been waiting for is like, not that you want anyone to get hurt, right? But just for Heiskanen to have a chance as the undisputed number one defenseman on that roster. And I think we'll see some of that as Klingberg is sitting. Let's talk about that Tampa-Detroit game. Did you guys catch the highlights or watch any of that game from the other night? What a circus.
No, I didn't see any of it.
I think Larkin was a little upset.
Was he wrong to be, though? Like,
no, it was like, I mean, it wasn't a hard hit from behind, but any hit from behind is uncalled for, really. I don't know about like Glavon right punching a guy in the side of the head as he skates past you, but I'm not opposed to it personally, but I can see how it's frowned upon.
Yeah, I get what he's saying. He's defending himself, like especially after what happened last year with Jamie Benn, right? Like Jamie Benn damn near broke his neck. Well, apparently he was in a brace for like I don't know how long it was, but it was quite a time after that. So he's finally come back. He's healthy, and then to get run from behind like that, like that's just not good. And honestly, Matthew Joseph is just a bit of a rat anyway. He's one of those guys that get under your skin. So I don't blame him for the retaliation there at all.
They also don't have anybody on the roster who's going to push back, like who's capable of pushing back. Like Tyler Bertuzzi is probably the closest, and he's kind of like in between a tough guy and a goal scorer. So
yeah, they don't.
Yeah. They don't really have anybody.
They've got really no one on that roster at all. I like Moritz Seider, his reaction. He was kind of, you saw that clip too, where he's giving it to Hedman and whoever else it was. It was, he's not putting up with anything, right? Yeah. He's a rookie, but he just gave it to these guys. It was hilarious. Bertuzzi did have a monster game. He had 4 goals. Seider had 2 assists, which we had recommended him last week. He had 20-21 on time on ice and 5-26 in the power play. So that's one thing that we should talk about is Moritz Seider is actually getting first power play unit time, like monster minutes. I think his upside is as far as rookie defenseman goes this year. Like he's honestly a dark horse for the Calder this year. Yeah. No.
Dark horse, but
yeah, no, I don't disagree. He's not on a not great team, but I mean, he's looked good so far and he's getting the opportunity. Right. So.
Well, it's not like Caulfield's running away with it. He hasn't done anything yet.
And neither.
Wait, neither is Montreal.
Yeah, fair point.
The laugh after.
and actually, Bruce, to your point, neither is Trevor Zegras. I'm really surprised, actually.
Tell me about it.
Did you see his move tonight? Like, smooth behind the net to try and do the lacrosse goal. Geez. It didn't work. It didn't work, but it was just like when you see most guys that actually score on it, how they have to like stop and set it up. This was like skating behind the net and in one motion on the blade and off. He hit somebody with it, but just in one motion and just like in the middle of play. It was crazy.
He's a slick player. I can't remember what his ice time is. He wasn't. It was not great. So I'm going to just look it up here quickly, but it was sub 15 minutes. He's averaging 13 minutes right now.
I think that'll go up as the season goes.
He is getting power play time though. He's averaging over 3 minutes on the power play. So take that for what it's worth. He, you're right, Tyler. He probably will go up throughout the year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if they're like as a team, I don't think they're going to score a ton of goals. No. So, but he'll be a part of whatever they
John Gibson's look good though, hey?
Yeah, he let in two soft ones before we came on here, but
we'll just disregard that. Before that though, he looked really good.
Yeah, before that, man, he is solid.
Boy, oh boy. Go pick him up right now. Okay, let's maybe move down the highway in California to the Kings and Cal Peterson. He looked good against the Golden Knights. He finished that game. It was a 920 save percentage and a 2.01 goals against average. So again, we've been ranting about Cal Peterson well before the season started, but he's looked pretty good to this point in the season.
How about Kopitar?
Yes.
Man.
Well, another guy we've been talking about right before the season has started, and he's up to 7 points now, 4 goals in 2 games played.
You guys were laughing at me with the LA stack. But it's
you were,
good.
Yeah.
It's looking good.
Damn it.
With a big assist to Philip Deneau.
Yeah, classic LA stack.
But and Deneau had a goal too, didn't he? It's like,
yeah, I don't think Kopitar keeps it up for a whole season, but it does show you that bringing in somebody like Deneau to take a little bit off of Kopitar's is a big help. And it's early on, but Kopitar will probably hit career highs in goals and assists and points. Yep.
Yeah, he could.
And I think he's only like career highs mid-70s or something like that. So it's probably not going to be that hard to hit, but just having somebody else to kind of take a little bit off him is going to be
big. I'm just looking at his profile here now. His career high, from what I can see, it's 92 points in 17-18. But Tyler, I'll have you know right now, he's on pace for 287 points. So,
and thank God I have him.
So he's well on his way to a career year for sure.
Gretzky's worried.
Yeah.
Steal of a pick.
Yeah, where'd you get him? Do you remember what round it was?
I think it was 53.
Okay.
53, somewhere in the 50s.
That's pretty good.
Fifth, sixth round. So.
Columbus beat up on Arizona last week, 8-2.
Spanked him.
Oliver Bjorkstrand, he had a great game. He had 2 goals, 2 assists. Elvis Merzlikins is a guy I want to talk about. He had a really solid game, 36 saves. He had a 947 save percentage and a 2.01 goals against average. Max Domi actually did look good, but now he's injured. He's going to miss 2 to 4 weeks, the rib fracture sustained in Saturday's game. But Merzlikins has looked impressive, guys. I'll pull up his numbers here as well. Actually, you know, we'll talk about him when we get to the waiver wire picks. But he's a guy you want to keep an eye on for sure. We'll talk about him a little bit here. The Kraken beat the Predators 4-3 for their first franchise win. The fans were getting a little nutty in that one. Did you guys see that scrap between that Kraken fan and the Preds?
I did.
Oh boy, I don't know what Buddy said to the Kraken fan, scrap. But he wasn't happy about it.
No, he didn't like it.
Okay, moving on. Peter Mrazek left the game on the October 14th. I can't remember who they played, but he left that game with injury. It was a groin injury, just because we don't talk about anything else besides groin injuries on this show, apparently. He's going to miss the next 2 weeks at least, so... some good value there for Jack Campbell. Keep an eye out for him.
And hope Campbell doesn't get hurt because they don't have anybody else after Campbell.
They got Hutchinson, don't they?
Well, they do now, but they had a get a university goalie to cover for him the other night because they didn't have the cap space to bring
Hutchinson. That is true. Yeah. Valid point.
David Ayers version, round two.
McAvoy signed an 8-year contract, $76 million, $9.5 million AAV. Did that number surprise anybody?
Nope.
Just given all the other contracts, it's kind of right in line there. So I don't think Morgan Riley's going to be in Toronto next
year. No, I don't think so either.
No.
And actually,
everything's just getting inflated. Yeah. So.
And I saw something on Twitter. Morgan Riley's been shooting the puck a lot more this season so far. Like he's up to over 3 shots a goal per shots on goal per game. So good to see there. Obviously, he's in a contract year. He's going to try and boost his value, right? But I think McAvoy lives up to that contract. There are some people that weren't thrilled with it, but now that he's on power play one, I really think he's gonna have a good season.
As long as he stays there, he will. Yep.
I'd be surprised. You know, anything can happen, but at this point, I just don't see how Matt Greslick is a better option than McAvoy.
Oh, he's got to stay healthy to be first of all, and he wasn't healthy at all last season. That was a short season.
Yeah, so. No, that's a fair point, Bruce. He has had some injuries throughout his career for sure. Jack Hughes, let the breakout tour begin.
What a goal! Yeah. Holy cow!
One of two on Friday night.
Yeah.
Again, this is another guy that we've talked about lots in the podcast. We've been banging that drum for a while, and here he goes. Just yeah, he had a great game. I love the flip stick at the end, too, out to the fans.
That was awesome.
Good stuff there. So, Jack Hughes, we talked about Pacioretty, talked about Kucherov, talked about how bad Fleury and the Blackhawks have been. sorry, Sean.
You just had to be.
I know. I'm sorry, buddy. Austin Matthews.
Oh, his favorite player is coming up later, so.
Yeah, so Austin Matthews. He returned to the lineup today, actually, in a 2-1 loss to the Rangers. Looked like it was a pretty entertaining game, especially in overtime. Shesterkin looked fantastic. I'm glad I picked him up in the 8th round of one of our drafts. Kaapo Kakko was placed on IR for an upper body injury, speaking of the Rangers. What else we got here? Blake Wheeler is in COVID-19 protocol. He missed practice today. And things just keep getting worse for the Penguins. Brian Rust is now week to week with a lower body injury. At this point, it's honestly just comical. Like, and they actually haven't been that bad.
Yeah.
So, interesting stuff there. And then, of course, the big news today, right towards the end of the day, was Evander Kane being suspended 21 games for violating COVID-19 protocols. Tyler, I'll swing it over to you.
What a fucking idiot.
Oh, man.
He is honestly, though, is the worst. He's the worst.
You know what? That Bufflin photo where he's giving him the finger as he's walking by?
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah. Yeah. If it didn't before, it definitely does now.
I don't know what else to say.
Just what a loser.
He's
a douchebag.
I was hoping, like we had talked about last week, the week before, it would have been nice to see his contract terminated and for him to just like go to Siberia, but it's not going to happen. So I'm actually really curious to see what happens when he comes back. Like, are the Sharks going to try and ship him out? Are they going to try and put him on waivers? Like, what's going to happen to them, right? His teammates don't want him there.
No, for sure.
So, anyway, some interesting stuff there. Keep an eye out for that. Did we miss anything, guys, for the news? Anything else you want to talk about? Okay. All right, well, then I guess it's a good time to tell our listeners about our partnership with NHLShop.ca. Fantasy Hockey X Podcast, a proud partner of NHLShop.ca. For all your officially licensed NHL merchandise, follow the links in our show notes or on our website. From jerseys and hats to socks, clocks, and more, NHLShop.ca is the best source for NHL apparel and merchandise. Visit the store today to see current promotions and offers. Terms and conditions apply. Full disclosure, Fantasy Hockey Hacks may receive a small commission for your purchase, which helps us to continue providing original content. And with that, guys...
Keyword is small.
Small content. Yeah, we're not getting rich, folks. With that, let's move on to...
It still hasn't bought us a coffee yet, but...
Yeah, I guess, you know, with that too, if our listeners, if you guys want to leave a review, that would also be equally as helpful. It really does help us to show up in the rankings on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, things like that. So, or follow us on social media. That's all helpful too. So with that, let's move on to everybody's favorite new segment, Edgework. All right, guys. So Edgework, let's talk about the NHL schedule for week two. Teams with four games this week: Anaheim, Detroit, Nashville, the Islanders, and the San Jose Sharks. Teams of interest here, there's two in particular. From my perspective, first off, the New York Islanders, who they've struggled to start off the season, but they should be on your radar for next week because they've got four games. They play Chicago, who is 0-2-1. They play Columbus, who's been pretty good at 2-0. Arizona and Vegas, who is 1-1. I expect a solid week from them. One guy to keep an eye on is Oliver Wahlstrom. At the time of writing, he was just 13% owned in Yahoo. He's getting power play time, and I think he had a goal here recently, two guys on the power play. So keep an eye out for Oliver Wahlstrom and the New York Islanders next week. I'm sure a guy like Kyle Palmieri would be available in most leagues. Looks like Varlamov is coming back. If Sorokin's available in your league, obviously grab him, but keep an eye out for the Islanders. The other team here is the Red Wings, which we just talked about, but they've looked good to start the season. Surprisingly good. Dylan Larkin is fine. He served his one game suspension. There was some concern about his health. He's all good to go. He's in practice today. They play Columbus again, who I mentioned is 2-0, but they also play Calgary, who's 0-1. Yes. Montreal, who's 0-3, and Chicago. So, I mean, other than Columbus, those are all teams that are kind of struggling to start the year. We're going to talk about these guys a little bit more later on, but Tyler Bertuzzi, Lucas Raymond, Robbie Fabry, Philip Zinia, Moritz Seider, and Nick Leddy are all guys that are widely available and should have a productive week coming up here. Any other thoughts or notes on those two teams, guys? Nope.
I'd be banking on them, okay. So yeah. No, it's...
Okay, keep an eye out for them. Teams with three games, most of the league, actually. So Arizona, Boston, Buffalo, Columbus, Calgary, Chicago, Colorado, Edmonton, Florida, LA, Minnesota, Montreal, New Jersey, the Rangers, Philly, Seattle, St. Louis, Toronto, Vancouver, Vegas, Winnipeg, and Washington. Those are all going to be in the show notes for reference. But teams of interest here, the Boston Bruins, they face Philadelphia, Buffalo, and San Jose next week. Carter Hart's career numbers against Boston are 4-4-2 with an .879 save percentage and a 3.74 goals against average. So I'd be banking on Boston to light him up like a Christmas tree next week. If you can pick up a guy like Charlie Coyle, who might be available in your league, who's going to play with Hall, you know, that top line, obviously they're all going to be spoken for, but if you can pick someone up, even Matt Greslick, who, you know, is going to get some secondary power play time, take a look at him. They're going to have a good week, I would say. The other team is the Edmonton Oilers. They should be in your radar for sure. They face Anaheim, Arizona, and the Vegas Golden Knights, who, like we'd mentioned, are going to be without Max Pacioretty and likely Mark Stone. The Ducks are a non-playoff team, and John Gibson, as you just mentioned, Tyler, let in a couple softies. So let's hope he lets in a couple more when they play the Oilers.
Let's hope Stollers starts.
Or that.
Stollers.
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 Dollars. Dollars. Stollers.
Stollers. Stollers. Stollers.
And then teams with two games: Carolina, Dallas, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, and Tampa Bay. Probably good timing for Tampa Bay, actually. The Dallas Stars are of interest for me. They've only got two games next week, but they take on a banged up Pittsburgh team, which I guess doesn't matter. They could lose half their team. They're still going to be competitive, but they are banged up anyway, and LA is still technically a rebuilding squad here. So the Stars, they've got no back-to-backs, which could suggest Braden Holtby gets two starts next week. He's 1-1-0 with a .939 save percentage and a 2.26 goals against average. Any other thoughts, guys, on the schedule for next week? Nope.
No, I think you covered it.
I'll find my cricket button.
You're going to wear it out by the
like I said. Okay, let's move on to the second segment for Edgework. NHL Week 2 waiver wire targets. We're looking at players that have ownership of approximately 50% or less. And that's really the only qualifier. So we'd mentioned Chandler Stephenson off the top here. He's rostered in 34% of Yahoo leagues. He plays three games, St. Louis, Edmonton, and the Islanders. I've got line one here is to be determined. So he may be playing, like I said, with Dadonov and Stone. He could be playing with Dadonov and insert player on the right side. Who knows? But he's looked pretty good to start the season. He had one goal, one assist, and was plus two in that game against Seattle and over 20 minutes of ice time. So keep an eye on who his line mates are. I mean, if Stone's there and if they move up Dadonov, I think he's still worth an add. Maybe. No? Yes?
They've got Stevenson. They've got him with practice this morning. They had him with Dadonov and Howden on the second line.
Okay.
They moved Marchessault, Carlson, and Smith up to the first
line. Yeah, and they're not going to break up that line, hey, Bruce?
No, it's not at all. That is the line.
They haven't done it in 4 or 5 years, right? So,
yeah.
It's the original line.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about Dadonov here quickly. He's 14% rostered in Yahoo. with no Pacioretty, he's got that spot likely next to Chandler Stephenson, which I guess for now is going to be the second line. But, you know, he's widely available, and he did show in Florida he can put up points when he's playing with good players. He is left wing, right wing eligible as well, so I think there's a bonus there. Do you guys like Dadonov for next week, or is he kind of a?
I think he's kind of an okay. But.
Nope.
Yeah. He's got opportunity, though. That's one thing, because anything I read about Stone, he's probably going to, they're looking at, they're estimating 4 weeks for Stone, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said it could be up, it won't be as long as Pacioretty, but they said it could be up to 4 weeks is what initial was. So if that's the case, then.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's good to know. You got to think they're going to move some of these other guys. Like Peyton Krebs is going to get an opportunity. And I got to think Nolan Patrick, too, is going to get moved up the lineup at some point. Because he played some wing in Philly, too, right? And for a center to move over to wing is not a big deal. So ask a winger to play center. Yeah, okay, that's a little different.
I've done that once. It wasn't pretty.
No, and I had to try it once or twice in rec, and it's just a disaster. Okay, moving on. Anthony Cirelli, center right wing eligibility, 24% owned. Like we said, two games played next week. He has been playing with Kalorn and Stamkos, but with the Kucherov news, that could hurt Cirelli's value here too, right, guys? I don't know. Is he as valuable a pickup now, given that there's no Kucherov and Stamkos maybe moved off that line?
I think he could kind of push his own line. They're going to have to, though. I mean, they just don't have the depth not to, so.
They'll figure it out. He is good on, he's good for hits, and he's good for faceoffs. One, he's got 100, like his 3-year average in a season is 107 hits and 462 faceoff wins. So there's some value there just in peripheral categories. And he can put up some offense too. So he's playing next to Alex Kalorn. I think if it's just the two of them and they bring up another guy to play, they're still going to put some points together eventually. Blake Coleman, he's finally back from his one suspension. He was good in Tampa. He's shown he can play. He can put up some offense in Tampa. He's always been kind of, and in New Jersey actually too, he was pretty good, but he's always kind of played in that middle six role. And now he's playing in Calgary on that top line. I think he's supposed to be playing with Lindholm, if I recall correctly, but
scored tonight too.
So keep an eye out for him as well. He's only 36% roster, left wing, right wing eligible. You know, if your league counts hits and penalty minutes, definitely keep an eye on him. His 3-year averages for hits or penalty minutes are 63 in a season and 203 hits, respectively. So, I mean, that's a lot of hits. He's basically hitting everything that moves. So, I take a look at him. I think he could probably be a 20 goal, 20 assist guy with a bunch of hits and PIMS coverage. So, and maybe more. Maybe he could surprise us, but. Who else you guys want to talk about? We got a few here on the list. Who else do you guys like?
John's favorite player.
John's. Oh, yes, yes.
I am not talking about
Come on.
I will talk about Tyler Bertuzzi before we talk about
that. Okay, you can't even mention his name, eh?
No, I can't.
Is it Nazem
no,
Kadri?
No, he's talking about Jeff Carter.
No.
Oh. Yeah, you had to do it.
Well, okay. But yeah, you go ahead. Go ahead with Bertuzzi.
He's actually putting up points.
Let's talk about Bertuzzi first so John doesn't have an aneurysm.
Basically, that's what's happening right now. Tyler Bertuzzi rostered 35% Yahoo. He's got four games. Columbus, Calgary, Montreal, Chicago. Line one with Larkin and Raymond, and you just can't ignore that first game there where he puts up the four goals. The guy played unreal. And I think he's going to – obviously, he won't keep that pace, but he's playing very well, and he's got some line mates who are playing well as well.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I like Tyler Bertuzzi. I picked him up in one league for sure. I think it was in our Yahoo league, Bruce. My brother actually has him in our one league, John. And sat him, right?
Yeah, and he sat him on the bench. I was so happy.
When he,
what?
Lorne, I want to say thank you.
Lorne.
And he was...
He just never.
And he was just telling me.
He
was just telling me the other day. He's like, "Yeah, I'm really gonna try and set my lineup." He's like, "I know I've just been busy."
Oh God!
And then he sits Bertuzzi, and Bertuzzi puts up four goals against John. So
he has Ovechkin like every year, and Ovechkin's like sits on the bench.
But I've got Ovi this year, and he does not. So
I know, but just classic Lorne. Doesn't even show up for the draft.
I think he showed up for two picks, I think he said, and then he had to run or he got kicked off the phone. Anyway, we'll give him a hard time. Maybe he'll listen to this eventually and he'll listen to his chirping.
Probably not. He probably doesn't have time.
That is actually true.
I appreciate
it, but make sure you set your lineup this week.
That's actually sound advice for all of our listeners. Make sure you set your lineups. That's just sage advice.
It really is.
Okay, anything else on – actually, I had a couple of points here. Yeah, John, you mentioned his pace is not sustainable, and obviously we know that, but his PDO is at 1,500, his IPP is at 83%, and his shooting percentage is at 66.7%. So
– solid.
Yeah, that's
definitely
that's
not
good.
Sustainable. But we still like him. I think playing next to Larkin and Lucas Raymond, he should have a good season. And the vaccination issue is less of a concern given that they're only going to play, I think, about nine games in Canada. So it's not like Josh Archibald with the Oilers where he's going to miss 30 games or something. So in terms of hockey, not an issue. But let's move on to Jeff Carter. did we lose John?
Basically.
No, he's still here.
Listen, John, I'm just going to make a real quick case for Jeff Carter. Look, he's center right wing eligible. He's only rostered in 43% of leagues. He had three games next week. He's putting up points. Like, I don't know. Let me just check here.
I think he's got like 4-3 or something like that.
I think you're right.
He just moved in the top 100 in career goals.
Yeah, he's got... one goal and three assists in three games played, 1952 average time on ice, and 344 in the power play. And he's averaging three shots on goal per game. And he's on 109-point pace.
that's pretty good.
And his shooting percentage is only 11%. So his three-year average is 10, and his career average is 11.5. So he's actually below his career average shooting percentage. So to me, like, that's shooting percentage sustainable. His 5-on-5 shooting percentage is high, and his PDO is as well. So he's not going to go with that exact same clip, but it's only slightly elevated. And his secondary assist percentage is basically right on pace. It's actually below what his average is the last year or two. So his numbers they're not crazy, and he's getting the placement. So like until Crosby comes back and kicks him off the top unit and maybe gets a reduced role in the power play, it's the production is probably mostly sustainable, right?
Yeah, I think until the rest of the team gets back, since they're missing basically everybody, until they get back, he is worthwhile to have on your team.
And like no draft capital wasted. He's 43% owned. So if he's still out there and you can pick him up, I mean, you know, ride him while he's hot and drop him for somebody else. Like it's, yeah, I mean, he's getting the opportunity too, right? He's just not much else you can say there. John, I know you'll probably never roster.
You can drop.
No, never will.
But for our for our listeners' benefit, I think all of us on the podcast, with the exception of John, would recommend picking him up. So,
yes. Or if you want, you could drop him for Nazem Kadri.
You could. So let's move on to Nazem Kadri. And Tyler, that was one of the picks you had suggested. And actually, I had an eye on him too. But give us your thoughts on Kadri. What do you like about him for this week?
Well, just until McKinnon is back, which sounds like he will be pretty soon here, but until he is, like, he's playing first line and he's putting up points too. He's getting all the opportunity to do it and he's cashing in on it. So worthwhile pickup for right now.
Yeah. I think I picked him up in two different leagues. He's got one goal and three assists and he puts up PIMs usually and some hits, and he's getting over 20 minutes of ice time.
It's because he's a goon.
He is a bit of a goon.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Tyler. you're like the Ty Domi of hot garbage.
That's right. You know it.
Sticking for.
Oh, man. Should we talk about Michael Bunting? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the new new guy there. And he looks just like Hyman in Toronto. Like he just fits right in there. It actually, like, I didn't think much of it when that came down and that was their pickup, but he fits right in.
Yep.
It's surprising. I don't know if it's sustainable, but for right now, he looks like he fits.
He's and he hits too. Like, he's got some peripheral category coverage. He has 9 shots on goal in 4 games played, so he's actually shooting the puck a bit. Right now he's playing with Tavares and Nylander. But after tonight, like, I saw lots on Twitter. I didn't have a chance to watch the game at all, but based on what I'm hearing and reading, Nick Ritchie has not fit in well with Matthews and Nylander, or Marner, sorry, which I probably not a surprise to many, right? But I wouldn't be surprised to see Michael Bunting get moved up the lineup and play with, like, in that Hyman role. If he's playing a similar game, right? If he's throwing hits, if he's shooting the puck, if he's good on puck retrievals and forechecks hard, all that cliche stuff. I he's probably worth an ad. He's only 17% owned. I was shy on him too, Tyler, because his shooting percentage was something like 26% last year in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. He had, what, like 10 goals in 20
Yeah. It was outrageous, actually. And on Arizona, right? But yeah. He's got 3 games this week. So obviously they played tonight against New York as we're recording this, but San Jose and Pittsburgh for the remainder of the week. Definitely worth the pickup. I take a look at him.
He has more points than Matthews and Marner put together.
Well, let's be fair to Matthews. It's the first game back tonight, but
and he had like three like grade A chances that should have went in the net. Two of those were in overtime too, yeah, for Matthews. So
I saw he had 8 shots on goal and 16 shot attempts. Like, that guy shoots the puck a ton. So much.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Keith Yandle. Let's talk about Keith Yandle. Rostered in 54% of Yahoo leagues. He's got 3 games this week: Seattle, Boston, and Florida, all at home. He's playing on the third pairing with, I think it's Nick Seeler. What else can we say about him? A couple difficult matchups. They're on off nights. Two of the games are actually on off nights, so some value there. He put up 2 assists, 1 on the power play against Vancouver recently. I think he had another assist here in his most recent game, on Saturday, I believe. Anyway, so he's getting power play time. Actually, he's getting 53.4% power play share, and his offensive zone start percentage was 71.8%. So they're using him in all the right places. He's known for running a power play. And I think he's on power play 2, because I think it was Ellis that was on power play 1. But he's getting a lot of power play time. So, you know, low, like 54% ownership. But if he's still out there in your league, give him a look if you're looking for help on D. Because there's not really a lot of options. Hey, guys, like, we're kind of scouring the waiver wire for defensemen. And there's not a whole lot. We got a couple more here for defensemen. Bowen Byram being one, which, John, I think was your pick last week, and then John, you had brought him up again this week. Yep. So John or Bruce, if one of you wants to talk about Bo and Byram, what you like, what you don't like. crickets. Yeah, put those crickets in again.
There's the crickets.
I mean, like, look, he's on the second pairing right now. He's got the talent and the pedigree to be an impact player. The only concern I'd have about Bo and Byram is when Devin Toews comes back, he's probably going to get bumped down the lineup again, right? Because last year he spent most of the year on the third pair. And
yeah.
It was Devon.
Oh, sorry, Devon Toews. Okay. Well, Devon. I'm not going to roll with that because my name is spelled the same way, and I'm just not going to say Devon Toews. So anyway, if Mr. Toews, yeah, when he comes back, I guess they're going to bump Bo and Byram down the lineup. And Cale Makar is going to get all the first unit power play time anyway. So I think, but at even strength, and for as long as he's on that second pairing with Eric Johnson, probably some value there. Hey, guys.
I think if you're in a deep league too, like we're not even in a deep league. We have like 10 guys in it, and we're already, like I had Bouchard. He's like 0.2% owned in Yahoo. So, and I played him for 2 games.
Yep.
So if you're in a deep league, like he is somebody to look out for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point, Tyler. In deep leagues, he's got a lot of value. In keeper leagues, especially a lot of value.
Well, and the way Colorado plays their defense too, they're all actively, other than maybe Johnson, they're all actively moving the puck and up in the play. So they're all offensively thinking. Yep. So,
yeah, if Johnson could skate, he probably would be too. But the whole the whole D-Carps kind of plays up like that. So that is a good point too.
Tyler, this was one that you had mentioned, John Marino in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, super, super low ownership. Good ice time, 22-26. He's playing on the power play. 3 assists in 3 games. I mean, it's a small window, but he's getting lots of opportunity. And even like we were just saying, we're only in a 10-man league, and 3 assists in 3 games is a lot of value. So I actually picked him up and dropped Bouchard because somebody else dropped him. But solid guy to have as your fifth or sixth guy.
Yeah, you don't need much from your fifth or sixth defenseman to make it worthwhile to pick him up. Like power play time and second pair. So not a bad option there. And then, of course, like Letang, he perennially is an injury concern, right? So, I mean, he's one injury away from potentially seeing some time on the first power play.
Yeah, and their depth kind of took a hit too there in Pittsburgh for D that could actually put up points. So,
yeah. So there you go, John Marino. Let's move on to, actually, we got Cam Fowler. That was another one we want to talk about for defensemen. So, John, you had mentioned him earlier. What's your take on Cam Fowler?
I will preface this with the last few years I've had Cam Fowler, and he's been disappointing. But I really like the way he started out this year. He's been getting points, and he's been playing a decent amount of ice time. So it's been good to see him do well. Just because the last few years I've been disappointed, and just looking at this, he's been playing good. He's getting lots of ice time. He's getting 23 and a half minutes a night. Scored a goal again today, and assists in the last couple games as well. So I definitely take a look at him.
Okay, good pick up there. I've had him in the past too, and he can be streaky, right? He's a guy who'll put up close to a point per game for stretches, and then he might go quiet again. But
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Good one there. You'd mentioned Ryan Graves too. So what did you like about Ryan Graves?
I liked that Ryan Graves was playing 25 minutes a night.
Doesn't hurt.
Compared with PK, Graves was playing about 4 minutes more. I know he only played the one game, but he did manage to get an assist in that game, and he was actually a +4 as well. And that to me just says that he's playing a solid defensive game. Don't get me wrong, Chicago wasn't the toughest challenge in that one.
Pad those stats.
exactly. Poor Fleury. But yeah, no, I was impressed with that. He was a decent player in Colorado for sure. And it just looks like he's taken that and his talents over to Jersey, and he's just continuing the train. So,
okay. Yeah. I mean, at even strength, he's playing with Dougie Hamilton as a defense partner, which, you know, that's a bonus. You should almost get points by osmosis. And then to play with Jack Hughes and, Yegor Sharangovich, I probably butchered that, but the other winger on that line. Right. And so I think there's some offensive talent there that, yeah, he should pick up some points here at even strength for sure. And even if he's not getting time on the power play, if it's a deeper league or if you just need some help with a sixth defenseman or something, probably a good add.
Certainly.
All right, let's move on to, I guess we got one goalie here, maybe two. We got two goaltenders. One being Elvis Merzlikins. He's rostered in 51% of Yahoo leagues. He's got three games this week. So at Detroit versus New York Islanders and versus Carolina. He made 38 stops, or 36, I guess, against Arizona this week, like we'd mentioned. His save percentage, I didn't know this, I just looked recently here, but over the past three seasons, his save percentage in all situations is 11th overall at 920. Like, he's almost a top 10 goaltender in all situations over the past three seasons.
He is a solid goaltender.
Yeah, his 2.54 goals against average is 20th. So Columbus plays two home games and they have no back-to-backs. I would expect to see him get no less than two starts this week. Like, Korpisalo is not a great option, and Merzlikins has been playing well, so.
Yeah. You can tell he's playing for Kivlikins.
Yeah.
And that's a really great story there. Well, terrible story, I should say, but it's great how Merzlikins has really, really embraced that, and he's definitely playing his best for his friend there. And, yeah.
Yeah, it's honestly a tragic story, the whole thing, but.
Yeah.
But Columbus.
I worded that in.
No, we all knew what you meant. But it's just.
We get it.
Yeah, it's tough. And the whole team is kind of just rallied around that, and they're playing better. And I hope it continues, right? That's a market that's had a tough go. They've lost a lot of good players. Okay. And the other one here we're going to talk about is Grice from Detroit. John, you had mentioned him. Again, four games here for Detroit this week, right? They're not going to start Nedeljkovic in every single game, so probably an opportunity to look at him. And what was his save percentage? He played well in this last game here. I just got to look it up. Tomáš Grice. Goals against average is 1.0, and his save percentage is 976. How many shots on goal? Shots against were 41. So, I mean, he played really, really well. So, yeah, and he did last year, too, when it was him and Bernier sort of patrolling the net there. So it's no surprise there. He might be sort of it's either going to be a one-third, two-third situation or 50-50 with Nedeljkovic. So I would keep an eye on him. If he's available in your leagues, yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts on Grice and Red Wings, guys?
I think he's kind of... I think he's kind of like that Sunday when you don't have a lot of games going on. And you need a couple points.
He's the that guy every That's Sunday. The guy. Yeah, when you get that spot start because you need to try and win your matchup for categories or points. He's sitting there for sure. We've all done it. We're all guilty of it.
I do it every Sunday.
Well, you know what? That probably seems like a good point to end the show. I think we'll.
Certainly. Does.
All right, guys. Well, hey, thanks for another great show. It was a lot of fun. For our listeners, just want to mention one last time, go check out that contest that gave away four tickets to the Edmonton Nashville game on November 3rd. All the details are in the post. Just make sure you like it, share it, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and follow us on the podcast for a bonus entry. If you want more information on the podcast, on what we're doing here, check out fantasyhockeyhacks.com. All of our show notes are there, waiver wire picks, updates, all that kind of fun stuff. We are going to work on some rankings, I think, at some point, because that's something that's... I ran a poll over the last couple of days, and we had 35 responses, and like 95% of the people polled said, yeah, we want to see rankings from you guys. So
they were all me.
No, you're the guy who said no.
Yeah, so we'll try and put something like that together for forwards and D and goaltenders and get that out to you guys. If you have any questions, comments, or otherwise, please email us, fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. We're on Instagram at fantasyhockeyhacks and on Twitter at FHX. And that's it. That's all. Thanks for joining us, Tyler, Bruce, John. Thanks, guys. It was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to all the edits later. I'm glad we only had a couple cricket inserts here this time. So we're doing well.
Sorry. Okay.
Well, we'll looking forward to the next one. We'll talk to you guys next week.
See you later.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Take care.